I thank you, and Barbara, I thank you for launching me. I said I'll get organized if you just give me time here, trying to pull these papers together. We've had a bit of a difficult time today arranging our schedule because, lo and behold, the Senate just went into session at 2 o'clock. We've just come out of a two-hour conference, and any minute I may be getting someone up here grabbing at my lapels or my shirt tail, telling me it's time to go. I insisted that we have roll call votes on critical matters and that the vote not last over 15 minutes. And since I'm the, and if you're not there, you can't extend the time, you can't vote. And I'd hate to have the sponsor of the resolution be the first one to violate it. So if perchance I don't do all that you would like me to do, or if I overdo what you'd like me to do, whatever it is, and I run out of here, it isn't because I have any lack of respect for you or affection for you. It's only that I have to fulfill my obligations, particularly since I obliged myself by Senate resolution to do so. So here goes. I want to talk to you about the WIC program. First, I want to thank the Children's Foundation. I want to thank Barbara Bode, and I want to thank all of you that have been so instrumental in making this program work. Stephen Harvey, who is the sort of WIC advocate, others. I could go down the line, but we'll save our time on that. You're here for a purpose. You know, it's rather difficult to believe that over 4 years have elapsed since the legislation establishing WIC was enacted. The case for the program was so compelling, and the Congress felt so strongly about it, that my four-amendment to the Child Nutrition Act, creating WIC, passed with little difficulty. Of course, it was just the beginning, but I found out that the way you get good legislation is to get a little legislation first, and you build on it. Members of Congress from both houses and both parties believed then, as they, I hopefully believe now, that the future of this nation depends on the proper development of its young and the still unborn. It is their health which in fact will determine the nation's physical, mental, spiritual, and even economic well-being. We were advised by the country's leading medical authorities, and we've been advised of this for a long time, by the way, that improving the nutrition of pregnant women and children is the surest and the most direct way to protect the future of these individuals, as well as to properly serve the health needs of the nation. Well, back in 1972, I saw in the WIC program, which was then a pilot program, as you may recall, in a few of our hospitals around the country, I saw it as a means of achieving this end. And today I'm even more convinced that we are pursuing the right course. In fact, as I develop my remarks, you will see how much I believe that we need to pursue the course of nutrition and nutrition education as the surest safeguard to the mental and physical health of the American people. The actual results of the WIC program prove conclusively that its concept was right and that it has been an excellent approach to solving a critical and widespread health problem and health need. Dr. Joseph Edozian, is that the way we pronounce it? Edozian, concluded in his medical evaluation of the program that WIC was associated with increases in height, weight, head circumference, and decreases in the prevalence of anemia for the infants that were enrolled in the program. Now, I suppose all of those are plus factors, but there are others as well. Similarly, pregnant women enrolled in the WIC program gained more weight than those not enrolled, gave birth to larger babies, and showed a reduction in the rate of anemia. And again, I gather from the medical authorities that this is all on the positive side. These results were achieved in spite of, and you and I know about this, the Department of Agriculture's determined efforts to emasculate the program whenever possible. I've never seen the likes of it, really. There's little need to review WIC's precarious beginnings. Most of you have suffered through the frustrations and the court battles involved in pushing the previous administration to allow this vital program to be born, and once it was born, to even survive. But now we can all rejoice that those days of fighting are over. We have a new president. We have a new Secretary of Agriculture, and I know him well, who will listen to you and will share your concern and your commitment. And just to make sure they'll do so, I'll be standing close by, keeping a watchful eye. I mentioned the new secretary, Bob Berglund. He's my close personal friend. He's an undaunting ally of the nutrition community, and he offers the Secretary of Agriculture more hope for the future of the program than most of us ever even dared to imagine. He will bring a new spirit of cooperation to the department and will provide the food and nutrition programs with the positive consideration and constructive regulations necessary to ensure their effectiveness. I've had long talks with Bob about this, and I'm sure that I speak to you of his views and of his determination. There's no doubt about it, we do have a good deal to be proud of from past efforts. Looking at the WIC program today, I feel a deep sense of pride in your accomplishment. As of October 1976, approximately, now you can correct me on this, but I believe about 680,000 individuals were participating in the program through 457 agencies in 49 states, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. Because these people are routinely visiting health clinics, they are not only gaining in weight and height, but the enrollees are more likely to receive general health care, particularly their immunization shots, and to be treated for ailments which otherwise would go untreated. Just the fact that they come to the clinic. Not only do the recipients benefit, but there is, as you know, a spillover to other members of the family who have more access to health clinics than in the past. We cannot and should not ignore the program's shortcomings because of USDA's past resistance. Now, however, we will have more access to the department, and we must be prepared to recognize and deal with these inadequacies. Now, let me quickly say that it's also is to the advantage of everyone to continuously promote the development of these community health clinics as a part of our overall health program in America. I have introduced recently legislation for mobile health clinics so that they can reach out into the rural areas, because many of our problems are to be found not only in the center cities, but out in those rural areas. And we've got to be able to make the distribution of proper preventive medicine and medical care and nutrition programs, we've got to be able to make that a possibility and not just a hope. And we'll have to be a bit ingenious to get it done for the immediate future. Now, one of the most controversial difficulties encountered by the WIC program is determining eligibility. Who participates? WIC, of course, was intended as a preventive program for pregnant women, infants, and children who were determined or regarded to be at nutritional risk. Now, this immediately raises several problems. Is low income the only thing? Is low income sufficient to qualify an individual for the program? If the person must first exhibit certain nutritional deficiencies, is it no longer a preventive, but rather a treatment program? This leads to still other philosophical and pragmatic questions. Should an individual be dropped from the program if he or she no longer exhibits deficiencies? And on what basis should a client be recertified? So we got our work cut out for us, and I'm just starting to tell you some of the questions that pop up. Moreover, is a low-income individual ever really out of nutritional danger risk or the risk area? Now, dropping low-income individuals from the program will likely ensure their return to the program once they have demonstrated an obvious deficiency. The estimates which I have received indicate there are approximately 3,100,000, a little over 3 million potential WIC participants in the United States. Now, utilizing that estimate, fewer than 1 in 4 potential participants presently are enrolled in the WIC, in a WIC clinic. I believe that the other potential eligible individuals also have the right to receive WIC benefits. I do not believe that the enrollment of one individual should preclude the enrollment of another because of so-called full caseloads. $1 billion would represent a major increase in this program. But we must begin to consider cost effectiveness in our total overall health programs. For example, each dollar spent on WIC can lead to savings in hospital costs, costs of caring for the mentally retarded, and the costs of unemployment for the individual as well as to the economy. Now, we have scientific data that demonstrates that if we can really protect the health and the nutritional needs of children up to through age 4, for example, that you sharply reduce medical costs. And imagine what you could do if you would extend a proper nutrition program for the first 12 years, let's say, of a child's life. It's during that period of time that so many deficiencies can be corrected. Children heal rapidly. I've always believed that one of the best approaches to universal health care was not only the Medicare for grandpa and grandma. I've qualified now, by the way, for that. I'm very grateful. But also the kiddie care, as I call it, for the youngsters. Because it's then when all kinds of deficiencies are subject to almost a miraculous remedy if we bring proper medical attention and health care to them. I view the WIC program as an investment in our country and surely as an investment in our children, which represent the future of our nation. For this reason, I firmly believe that in order for WIC to succeed as a preventive program, we must move towards including all low-income pregnant women, infants, and children. That's one place to start. That's at least a baseline. Another serious and related problem is in reaching those most in need, particularly in areas which do not have health clinics. I mentioned that to you. Although in such cases it is lawful to operate the program out of nonprofit organizations, this procedure has been slow to catch on. Therefore, we've got to figure out ways and means for an outreach program. This is true of food stamps, by the way, just as it is of the WIC program. We have an obligation to attempt to reach all potentially eligible individuals. But without doubt, we must make every effort to enroll those most in need. Thus, we must develop definitions of relative need and approaches for meeting this responsibility. Now, we'll also need to give some attention to the role of the supplemental food program, with which you're fully familiar, which provides commodities to over 100,000 individuals currently, mainly, however, in our large cities. We often tend to direct our efforts to the WIC program without consideration to the goals, effectiveness, and the future of the supplemental food program. This conference provides an excellent opportunity now for us to consider these issues, some that I've mentioned and others that you'll think of yourself, and to develop a strategy for relating the two programs, the supplemental program and the WIC program. By the way, we have problems in Congress on that. People say, well, what do you need WIC for? You've got a supplemental food program. There presently are sufficient funds to increase program enrollment by 150,000 to a level of 830,000. We cannot be satisfied with reaching less than present funding allows. The program must expand as rapidly as we can physically and administratively handle the workload. But I'd have a mighty difficult time going to Congress to ask for more money when we're not even utilizing the funds that are currently appropriated, nor are we reaching the number of people that current funds make possible. Thus, mechanisms must be developed for effectively reaching potential clients. And if this requires changes in the regulations, and I think that's most likely so, or in the administrative procedures, these must be accomplished in the most expeditious manner. And groups such as the Children's Foundation need to come forward with their ideas now, as rapidly as possible, for improving this program. You are in daily contact with sponsors, and your organization can be helpful in transmitting this experience and reacting to the regulations. Now, I realize that while the maximum nationwide enrollment capacity has not been attained, in 54% of the WIC clinics studied by the Urban Institute, waiting lists were maintained. Ironically, in other areas, funds remained unspent. So as we come around and say, gee, we need to do more, I think we need that. We need Congress to do more, and I generally am asking Congress to do more. I've got to at least have some evidence that if the money that you receive, that you're capable of effectively and prudently spending, and that the waiting lists are no longer waiting lists. Now, this, of course, presents a perplexing problem which we cannot ignore. We must develop an approach to deal with unused funds and to reduce, in fact, eliminate waiting lists. I hope to see the funding for this program expanded, and I'll do my best. But again, I must be able, I repeat, to reassure my colleagues that every dollar appropriated was not only needed, but it wasn't enough. And that we can justify the greater expenditure or the greater investment. Now, a recent workshop on WIC alternatives conducted by the Office of Technology Assessment of the Congress, it was made apparent by the participants that WIC is viewed as a health and nutrition program, not merely as an income maintenance program. Nutrition education thus becomes a key to the continued success of the program. It is important to provide participants with nutritional supplements, but unless they can feed themselves and their families wisely after leaving the program, we have not in any way achieved our goals. Women are eligible for WIC for at most 1 year postpartum. If the program is truly effective, the feeding patterns will continue after this point. Nutrition education is a very important component of WIC, and I'm pleased to note that it is being carried out in most of the clinics as provided by the Child Nutrition Act. I'm a kind of a crank on nutrition education, believe me, as one that's just undergone some rather serious surgery and fighting this dread disease called cancer. Let me tell you that I'm more convinced every day of my life, from all the evidence that I've read, and I've been reading tons of it, that nutrition, food, has more to do with one's basic health and this disease than any one thing. Where are we? All right. Are we still all right? So, let me just say that nutrition education is not something which affects only the poor. I wish it that were the problem, why we could most likely get at it rather quickly. The American public as a whole is poorly informed about the relationship between nutrition and health, and the need to tailor one's diet to satisfy health needs. Frankly, our medical schools are negligent in teaching nutrition to their doctors. And the doctors today are the first ones, I'm happy to say, to admit it, and I think it's going to take a lot of pressure from organizations such as yours, some of us in Congress, to do something about it. I believe we should take seriously the disturbing results of the Urban Institute study of April 1976, which indicated that 88% of their respondents felt they did not learn much from the nutrition education they received from their WIC clinic. So we got to do a better job, and I just implore you to become creative in this and do the better job that you're capable of doing. We must develop more effective methods and materials to impart nutrition education. While the lack of adequate nutrition education is particularly acute for individuals who have limited resources and little education, the problem, as I say, is pervasive among all income groups. Nutrition research, education, and feeding programs in this country are conducted in a fragmented and uncoordinated manner. Despite the fact that two-thirds of the present budget of the Department of Agriculture is devoted to feeding programs, there is no assistant secretary to oversee or coordinate them. I have previously recommended establishing such a position. Mr. Berglund knows that I think it ought to be done, and I will do so again this year. And with your help, we can get an assistant secretary for these feeding programs so we begin to get some coordination, at least in one department. I got to skip here. Great material you're missing here. This conference provides the framework for those with expertise and experience to look beyond making improvements in the WIC program. We cannot settle for a recitation of what I've done here today, the shortcomings of the past administration, or tempting as they may be. Instead, we must undertake a realistic assessment of our capabilities and long-range goals. Looking back on all of my years in government service, I am as proud of this program as any with which I've been involved. It represents what is best in America, a dedication to our children and our future, and an attempt to nip the poverty cycle in the bud. You know, I remember when we fought years ago to get a pilot program in the food stamps. We only had 6 counties. And I remember somebody saying to me, you didn't do anything. You got a little old program. It's going to amount to nothing. 6 programs. Today, the food stamp program does amount to something. It's not only an income supplement, but it has been a godsend for many families in this country. Sure, there's some abuses. We know there are some abuses, but I want to tell you, occasionally somebody steals the church collection, but you don't burn down the church. We still have a big job ahead of us. And the best thing for us to go to know in this conference is that there's work to do. And I just urge upon you in your deliberations to come forth with some practical suggestions now on how we can determine better definitions of eligibility, how we can have better outreach, how we can tie in the WIC program on its temporary basis with long-term nutritional education. And if we get those things done, we have more than justified our efforts. So I urge you to make the best of this opportunity. Together, I think we can do a lot, and I want you to know that I am your representative on this matter in the Congress. I'm just one of many. There are many others that are every bit as concerned as I, but I think we can have a good year.